You know, it's always funny when you look at your bulletin, you're like, next week is family worship, which means we have the kids. And everybody's like, yay. But hey, it's great. There's a song out there that says, because he lives. And there's a line in there that says, you know, I know that my child can face uncertain days. Why? Because he lives. Amen, church? Amen. All right, let's dive in. Hey, church, he is risen. Amen?
Amen.
The words from that last song, oh, what a Savior. Isn't he wonderful? Sing hallelujah, which means sing praises to the Lord. Christ is risen. Bow down before him, for he is Lord of all. Sing hallelujah. Christ is risen. We'll give them just a second to get out. If anybody needs to move their seats or get comfortable, whatever you need to do, go ahead. I grew up hearing that Super Bowl, or that Easter was the Super Bowl of Christianity. You guys ever heard that? Like, it's the big deal, man. Without Easter, we have nothing. Without the resurrection of Jesus Christ, we have nothing. And our faith as Christians, the microphone's having an issue here. With us as Christians, we have nothing without the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He came. He lived. He died. He was buried. And church, he rose again just as he said he would. So today is our biggest day because he is risen. Leading up to this point of the resurrection, Jesus had ridden in on a donkey on Palm Sunday, which we celebrated last week. He lived and he served and he taught that last week. He even had the first Lord's Supper with his disciples. You guys familiar with the name Judas? Right? Judas went off to betray Jesus, and Jesus and his disciples made their way to a familiar place called for them, and it was a place called Garden of Gethsemane. It was a place that Jesus would go off and pray and spend time with God the Father. And so that's what they did, to go and pray before Jesus knew what was going to happen. And that, from that point on, Jesus, he was arrested. Even his, who we look at as kind of say the leaders of the disciple, right? The leader of the disciples, Peter, man, he denied him three times. He denied that he even knew Jesus. We'd like to say, if we were in that situation, when our leader, when Jesus is, if we knew who Jesus was and we saw him getting arrested, we'd like to be like Peter and say, I will never deny you, right? But when life happens, when things happen, you get scared, and he denied him three times. And many of the other followers of Christ scattered in fear. And then Jesus is led to a false trial. It was a sham, accused of things he was not guilty of. There was not one thing, nobody could find anything in fault with him, and yet this trial continued. And while trying to appease the crowd that had gathered, Pilate, the governor, he sent Jesus to be scourged. Let me tell you what this means, because this is a big deal. When we look back at Friday, Good Friday, a lot of times we just think about Jesus hanging on the cross, but there was so much that happened to Jesus before then. He was beaten. He suffered. To be scourged, the practice was for them to take their prisoner, in this case Jesus, and the common practice would, they would take him and they would bind their wrists together to a post high above their head so their body would be stretched out. And that soldier would take a leather strap with a wooden handle on the end of it, and at the very end of it, they would have metal and glass and bone. We can have an idea of what that was there for, don't we? I mean, they used that on their prisoner. And over again, they would scourge them. They would rip the flesh. They would lacerate muscles. Many times, it would expose the internal organs of that person. And some of the prisoners went through that actually died. It wasn't just the cross, right? And it was the cross. Praise God for the cross. Amen. But it was more. He suffered even before then. Jesus went through all of that, but it still was not done. His suffering was not done yet. John chapter 19, it says that after the beating, after the scourging, it says the soldiers twisted together a crown of thorns and put it on his head and put a purple robe on him. They're mocking Jesus. And can you imagine having your skin ripped open and then having something placed on there? And they began to come up to him and say, Hail, King of the Jews. And they came to slap him in the face. Even the soldiers were mocking him. And as he stood there, he did nothing but take it as they accused him and as they continued to hit him and spit upon him. And really, after a half half-hearted attempt to release Jesus. Pilate, he's hearing these crowds shouting, "Crucify him!" And then what we read next is that he released Jesus to them. In verse 14, it says, "Behold your king." So they cried out, "Away with him! Away with him! Crucify him!" Pilate said to him, "Shall I crucify your king?" The chief priests answered, "We have no king but Caesar," which is really interesting because they've been looking for a way to get around that and have a new leader. So he handed Jesus over to them to be crucified. It was common practice for the prisoner to either carry it or have a tablet strapped around their neck, just laying over their neck with the person's name on it. And it would say what their crime was. And Pilate got a hold of Jesus' sign, and he wrote the inscription to be placed on the cross. It said, "Jesus the Nazarene, the King of the Jews." Listen to these words from Mark chapter 15, beginning in verse 22.
Then they brought him to a place, Golgotha, which is translated place of a skull. They tried to give him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him, divided up his garments among themselves, casting lots for them to decide which man should each take. It was the third hour when they crucified him, and the inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews."
They crucified two robbers with him, one on his right and one on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, "And he was numbered with transgressors. Those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, 'Ha, who are you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days? Save yourself and come down from the cross.' In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes, were mocking him among themselves and saying, 'He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross so that we may see and believe.' Those who were crucified with him were also insulting him.
And when the sixth hour came, darkness fell over the whole land until the ninth hour. At the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, 'Eli, Eli, lama sabachthana,' which is translated, 'My God, why have you forsaken me?' When some of the bystanders heard it, they began saying, 'Behold, he is calling for Elijah.' Someone ran up, filled a sponge with sour wine, and put it on a reed and gave it for him to drink. 'Let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down.' And Jesus uttered in a loud cry and breathed his last breath. And the veil of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. And when the centurion who was standing right in front of him saw the way that he breathed his last, he said, 'Truly, this man was the Son of God.'
There were also some women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James the Less and Joses and Salome. When he was in Galilee, they used to follow him and minister to him. And when there were many other women who came to him to Jerusalem."
Thanks, ladies. Man, when we celebrate Good Friday, when we think back and we remember back on Good Friday, that's that. We're thinking about his scourging. We're thinking about how he made his way to the cross. And think about this, guys. He knew what he came for. At any point, we're talking about God in the flesh here. At any point, he could have said, "I don't want to do this." But he met us at our point of need. I read a post from a friend of mine on Good Friday, the day that Jesus willingly suffered and died on the cross for you and for me. And my friend's social media post read this. He says, "Friday was a bad day, but Friday wasn't the last day." Amen? For us, when we look back and we know that his resurrection happened shortly after, we can look back at this point and say, okay, we know the resurrection happened, right? But for them, although Jesus told them continuously that his death would not be final, they were scared and they were confused and they were lost and they were hurt. It was a bad day. Put yourself in their place. It was the worst they could have even imagined. For us, it's a day that we look back to and we have pain from within us, knowing that he hung on that cross to pay the penalty for my sins. But at the same time, we have that joy knowing that he did, in fact, cover my sins. Friday was a bad day, but Friday wasn't the last day. Because Jesus, on the third day, just as he promised, he rose, church. He is alive. Would you guys stand with me as we pray this morning? Father God, you are good. For God so loved us that he sent Jesus. And God, as we come together today, help us realize that Easter is not just a religious celebration. It's just not something we do because culture does it. It is something that we remember and we point back to and we say, that is our Super Bowl. This is the day we celebrate that Jesus conquered even death. Help us not take that for granted. And God, as we sit here today and we listen to God's word be spoken, preached, God, help my words be honoring to you. Help them be your words. And Father, as we listen today, help us hear what you have for us and help us walk out. Father, when we are in the presence of the Almighty God, we are changed. And so Father, as we listen to this message today, help us walk out different than when we came in. We ask all this in the mighty name of Jesus, our resurrected King. Amen. You can be seated. If you would grab your Bibles, we're going to look in John chapter 20. If you're not familiar with that, the Bible's broken out in two different sections. You got the Old Testament and the New Testament, and John is the fourth book in the New Testament. Does anybody need a Bible? We have some at the end of rows. Everybody good? All right. And what we're going to walk through together and read is really this third day, what we know as Easter or Resurrection Sunday. And we're going to see some of these first eyewitnesses to an empty tomb. And church, this is important. When we look at these eyewitnesses, this is how the news of who Jesus is and what Jesus did has spread for 2,000 years. Praise God that if somebody shared their testimony and their story. Are you guys with me? Man, we're grateful for that. And that's our job, if we know Jesus, is to share the story. 2,000 years later, we're still hearing the story. These eyewitnesses who then told others. I love sitting down with people and listening to what Jesus has done in their lives. And really, for me, you can look back and kind of see a legacy. For me, my mom and dad made sure that we knew who Jesus was. Right? And then you go back to my grandfather. My grandfather, man, I remember he was, you guys familiar with Billy Graham? My grandfather did some few things that probably wouldn't honor God, and then all of a sudden he walked forward to the Billy Graham crusade and he gave his life to Jesus, and that started the legacy. Are you guys with me? And so, I mean, the story that's passed on and passed on and passed on. So parents, hear me out on that one, man. Those kids are in here, they need to hear about Jesus. They need to be in the church. Are you guys with me on that one? All right, but ultimately the parents need to be doing that. We have this amazing account of these first eyewitness testimonies. And we know that when we read in God's word in the book of Acts, which comes right after John, it's just the growth of the church, the growth of Christianity. In fact, that's the first time we hear the word Christians. You know, we walk around and we say, hey, we're Christians. We go to a Christian church. We're a Christian nation or whatever that looks like. Whenever that term Christian first came out, it was like a slap in the face. Oh, you're one of those Christians. You're one of those that follow that Jesus. Yes, I am. And it spread by teaching and telling and sharing and preaching the truth of Jesus and his love. The love that went all the way to the cross and then rose to conquer even death so that you and I and all of eternity could have eternal life with him. And here's the thing, when you look at this book of Acts, it wasn't just the preachers. It wasn't just the Sunday school teachers. It was everybody that followed Jesus Christ that shared the gospel. And it started with these first eyewitness testimonies, and it continues even to today with stories of how Jesus is still changing and saving lives because of his resurrection 2,000 years ago. Next week, we're going to have at least one baptism, and I get to sit down with people before they get baptized, and I said, tell me your story, how Jesus saved you and changed you. I love hearing that. So John chapter 20, beginning in verse 1. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. So on this Sunday, this Easter, this resurrection morning, Mary Magdalene, a woman who had been previously healed by Jesus. The Bible tells us that in Luke chapter 8 verse 2, that Jesus actually casted out not one or two, but seven demons from her. What kind of mess was she in? Are you guys with me? Like, man, what are you messing around with that you get seven? Like, what kind of sin in your life do you have that causes seven But Jesus did that. And there's a lot of speculation about who this woman was and what she had done in her life. And we don't know everything. We have ideas, but what we do know for sure was that she was lost in sin. She was chained. She was bound for a place called hell. And Jesus changed her life. And from that point on, she served Jesus, she followed him, and she listened to him because she loved Jesus as her Lord. Listen to that word, as her Lord. We're going to talk about that more today in a little bit. John chapter 19, verse 25 tells us that Mary Magdalene was with a group of other ladies, including Mary, the mother of Jesus. There's a lot of Marys in the Bible, isn't there? It's easy to kind of get those confused. But Mary Magdalene, she's there when Jesus was crucified. She saw all of it happen. Can you imagine like what's going through her brain? The pain that she's feeling, the sorrow that she felt as she watched the one that made her life new. She watched her Lord, the one that gave her new life as he was beaten and hung on a cross and watched him die. Previous in her life, she was a woman that had no friends. She now has an eternal friend. She has no hope. Jesus made hope real for her. She was more than likely an outcast in society, and Jesus brought her in. And so we read that this Mary, while it was still dark, she made her way to the tomb where her Lord Jesus had been laid. The Bible tells us that she was there with the mother of Jesus on that Friday before, as they laid Jesus in this tomb. She knew where he was. She saw them put him in this tomb. And she was coming there to finish preparation of Jesus' body by bringing more spices to anoint him. Probably there to see him for the last time, to see his body. She's there expecting to see that tomb sealed up, to see it closed up. And you guys know there's guards sat outside these things. She's expecting to see all of that. We know from Matthew 16, it says that she was asking who would roll away the stone for her. This is not a stone that we can just like, man, it's going to take like all the men in this room to roll that. Are you guys with me? I mean, it's a big stone. This gal's not going to be able to do it, but she is desperate to get there and see Jesus. And maybe for that one last time, and she finds that the stone had been rolled away. But no testimony to his resurrection yet. She isn't sure what happened. Listen to what she does and says next. Verse 2. So she ran and came to Simon Peter and the other disciple whom Jesus loved. That's how John referred to himself. It sounds a little weird, but that's just kind of how he referred to himself. Simon Peter and John. She comes to them and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb and we do not know where they have laid him. Can you imagine like the pain and the grief that's coming out of her? She comes to the tomb. She sees that it's rolled away. She's thinking somebody has taken the body of Jesus. By the way, it sounds weird, but that was common back then. You would have these tombs. They would get in there and they would take things out of them and they would take the body for whatever reason. And so she would go running back to Jesus' disciples, specifically John and Peter, and they take off running. I really like how John writes this because he says this. The other disciple outrun Peter. It's like, it must have been like a brotherly thing. Any guys ever do that? You just have a competition for everything. And they run off. The Bible tells that although John was there first, he waited and Peter went in first and then John after him. And the two, they come in and they see that he's gone. They didn't get it. They didn't know what was happening. So what do? They return back home. The Bible tells us they return back home. So these men, not really getting, even though Jesus had made it clear they're not understanding what had happened, they head back home, but guess who's still there? Guess who's still there? The one that had been with him the entire time. In verse 11 we see, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. And so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and she saw two angels sitting. They were in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. This is kind of interesting for me. If I see angels standing there, I'm probably going to wet my pants a little bit. But she just kind of has a conversation with them. And they said to her, woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, because they have taken away my Lord and I don't know where they've laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. And lots of different reasons. Maybe she's obviously been crying. Maybe she's not quite awake yet. Maybe the light is not bright enough for her, but she's not really thinking clearly, and she didn't know it was Jesus. Jesus said to her, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? And supposing him to be that gardener that would be there to take care of that property, she said to her, Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away. Listen to this verse. Jesus said to her, Mary. She turned and said to him in Hebrew, Rabboni, which means teacher or master. It's so easy when we come to holidays, Easter and Christmas, for us to just kind of skip over it. We get kind of lost up in the things that are happening. We have all these toys that are going on. Santa Claus is here and it's a big celebration. We've got all these parties and pictures and all that other stuff to take. And we forget why Jesus came, right? And now we get to Easter. And we've got the Easter bunny. We've got Easter egg hunts. We love Easter egg hunts, don't we, church? Right? Wow, way to go, by the way. We served our community with 8,200 eggs. We are crazy, right? 8,200 eggs. But we get to a point where we come up to Easter. It's like, all right, it's Easter time. Let's just go do this. Let's take our pretty pictures. Let's gather. Let's have some ham or whatever. What do you guys do? Ham? Is that the thing? I don't know. I thought turkey was for everything, but ham. So we're going to have ham. And we forget to look at God's word and see what happened. So what I want us to do, church, is just take a second and feel the weight of what is happening here. Here is Mary Magdalene, a woman who Jesus had healed. A woman who had gone from being unclean in her culture and rejected to being clean and accepted, to having a new life, only to see the one that did all this for her, the one that she followed, be murdered in the most violent form of death imaginable. To think about the scene she had witnessed and the grief she was experiencing. Now here's the thing. We wear our crosses on our necks. We get them tattooed on our arms or whatever it is that we do. We wear the shirts or we put it on a sticker on our car. But let me tell you that this was worse than the electric chair. They would put you really close to the people. I know we always see it like way up on a hill, but you were there right by the people, really only a few feet higher than them. And you would be stretched out on this cross after you carried it and got the heck beat out of you. And listen to everybody yell and make fun of you. And they did this, the Romans did this to deter people from going against them. And they would stretch them out. And they would put nails probably right here so it would hold. And right here so it would hold. And they would take the legs and drive it through both feet so that it would hold. And then you would suffocate on your own blood. You couldn't breathe. You couldn't lift up. And you would sit there and you would die while people looked on and laughed at you. And she experienced all of that. It seemed as though all of her hopes had been taken away. All of her joy had just went pulled out from underneath her, only to now come. And she's just saying, okay, I've got to deal with this. Let's go and let's take care of this body. Let's give our final proper respects to this Jesus that changed my life. And she comes there and she finds really what seems to be somebody had taken the body. When it rains, it pours. You guys ever hear that? Like everything that's happened is gonna bad that's gonna happen is gonna happen. Guys, let's talk about this for a second. Have you ever been at a point in your life where you've experienced grief and loss so deep that you can't even put it into words? As a pastor, I get to sit down, and you guys probably do. You get to sit down with people that are grieving, and sometimes they can't even talk. You just sit with them. Right? Because they're hurting so bad. Have you ever felt like all of your hopes have been taken away? Man, I was reading a story this past week. A former football player accidentally ran over his little baby, 3 years old. Talk about grief and pain. Or you feel like the joy you've had have been just stripped from you. Or maybe you felt alone in the middle of everything that's going on. I know we got some tough men in here. I'm not going to talk bad about you because you can probably beat me up. But here's the thing, man. So even us men, right, we deal with that. We have hard times. I would guess that most people in this room can identify, at least to some level, maybe at many levels, with the hurt that Mary is going through at this point. And here she is, she's completely alone. Even the disciples, the dudes that have been walking with Jesus, they left her, they went back home, and here she is standing by herself in the tomb. And then we have the angels that come and they try talking to her. And next, she pleads with who she thinks is a gardener. Show me where he is and I will take him. And how great is this? Let's think about that moment that you've been in that place. That really sucky place, right? Where you're just like, it just stinks, man. And there's nothing that you can do about it. And then all she's standing there, and then Jesus simply says her name, Mary. And she recognizes his voice. Let me give you a picture of what this is like. My oldest, I remember, and not a lot, but every now and then he'd have a bad dream. Something would scare him. Or he would see a spider or something like that. Better than a scorpion, right? Or any of your kids, you hear them crying and they're hurt and they're scared and you walk into the room and all I would have to do with Jax is I would say, Jax. Just Jax. And he would turn and look at me. He recognized my voice. And it's almost as if just like that, everything's okay. You guys ever experienced that as parents? You just say their name and everything is okay. Jesus finds her in this condition and he says her name and she responds by calling him teacher, master. And we know from the following verse that she just clings to him. And in an instant, all of that pain, all the lost hope, all the fear is just gone. Her grief is instantly changed to gladness and her sorrow is instantly turned into joy. Just imagine the testimony of Mary. This is guys, this is it. Man, sometimes we think, man, I don't have much of a story. Listen to this, man, she had a bad life. I was hurting and Jesus gave me hope. I was chained to my sin and Jesus made me free. I was full of sorrow and Jesus gave me joy. David Platt is the president of the International Mission Board, which they oversee sending missionaries to everywhere except North America. And they have North American Mission Board for that. And here's what he says about this particular passage with Mary. He says, this is the point of the resurrection. The world is full of sorrow and hurt, sin and sadness, unmet desires and shattered dreams. Unexpected disease and inevitable death. But Jesus came to conquer it all. He goes on to say, he went to the cross where it took on the full force of sin and death, even though he had no sin in him. He paid the price of our sin for us. And he died. And 3 days later, he rose from the dead in victory over sin and death so that we might have hope. No matter what this life brings you, no matter how this life hurts you, you can know that this is not all there is. There is more to come. Amen, church? Church, because of his death and his burial and his resurrection, we have a sure hope. Let me tell you what this means. I grew up saying, man, I really hope we win this game. Right? I really hope I get this job. I really hope she says yes to me when I ask her to marry me because that would be really embarrassing if she said no. But we have a take it to the bank hope. We have a real hope. That if we call on the name of the Lord Jesus, Lord of our life, believe that he died and rose again. If we believe that he is God and we turn from our sins and turn to Jesus, the Bible is very clear. We have this hope that we will be with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We lose somebody here on earth that they knew Jesus as their Savior. We're going to be with them. Amen. That's the hope that we get because Jesus conquered death. We will be with him where there's no more pain, no more sorrow, no more fear. Jesus says, just believe in me. Can you imagine the testimony that Mary had? What a story to tell. And next, if we look to verse 24, we have our second testimony. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, meaning the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. Jesus had showed up to the other 10 disciples and Thomas was not there, so the other disciples were saying to him, Thomas, we have seen our Lord. But he said to them, unless I see in his hands the imprint of the nails and put my finger into the place of those nails and put my hand into his side, I will not believe. Thomas was looking for proof. He knew Jesus had been arrested. He knew Jesus had been crucified. He knew that Jesus died on the cross. He knew that Jesus was put in the grave. And Thomas was just looking for proof. And although earlier Jesus had told them, hey, I'm going to die, but I'm going to rise again. Not on the second day, not on the fourth day. He's very specific. I'm going to rise again on the third day. But Thomas doubted. We still talk about that today, don't we? Somebody doubts, somebody's leery of something, we call him what? Doubting Thomas. But I really think Thomas gets a really bad rap here, if you think about it, because of his doubts and his questions. And when I'm reading this past week, and I'm just sitting there thinking, man, I'm going to act like I wouldn't have doubted, right? I mean, you saw this guy, and you're like, oh, you're the real deal. You're the Messiah. You're the promised one. But I saw you die. And we're going to walk around like we just got, oh, yeah, I get it. Yeah, Lee just raised from the dead, right? Thomas was just being real. He kind of helps me out here. You know, you read about people in the Bible and you just read of their faith and you're like, woo, I got some work to do, right? But he's just real. He had followed Jesus. He believed in Jesus, but he also saw him die. Something that he never really believed would actually happen. This is not just some guy. This is the promised Messiah, the chosen one, the Lord that's going to come, God in the flesh, and now he is dead. But Thomas is saying, I saw him die, friends. I need to see him alive. He wanted to see and touch his Lord and Savior. Verse 26, after 8 days, 8 days after Thomas made that claim, his disciples were again inside that same place. And Thomas was with them this time. Jesus came, the doors haven't been shut, and stood in the midst and said, peace be with you. Let's have a moment here real quick. Isn't it amazing when you're having really a hard time in your life? Somebody's died, you've lost your job, something has happened. You got an F on a test. None of the guys in here, you guys are all just rock solid, right? You guys just nail it. But you have those times that just are difficult. And then you remember that Jesus is in your presence. Right? I mean, you're in Jesus. You get what I'm saying? Like, God is there with you. Jesus says, man, you follow me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. I will be with you until the end of the age. And he says to Thomas. Now, keep in mind, Jesus was not there when Thomas doubted. But Jesus knew his heart and he knew his need and he knew his questions. And he says to him, reach here, Thomas, with your finger and see my hand and reach your hand and put it into my side. He says, Thomas, don't be unbelieving, but believing. And Thomas answered and said to him, I want you guys to say this with me. My Lord and my God. Let's try that again. Let's say it like we believe it. Thomas answered and said to him,
my Lord and my God.
Amen. Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, have you believed? Blessed are they who did not see and yet believed. Jesus made himself visible to hundreds of people. But Jesus says, blessed are we that didn't get to see him and we still believe. And I want to go back to this confession that you guys all read. This is the greatest confession a person can make in their life. Now, I know there's a lot of things to say. Man, I can profess my love to Jessica, and that's a great profession to make, right? But the biggest profession and confession a person can make in their life is this: Jesus, you are my Lord, and you are my God. And he was professing the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He's professing that Jesus, the same Jesus he walked with and served with and he loved, he is in fact who he said he was this whole time. He's the one that came to make a way. He's the one that came to lead. The one that brings us truth. The one that brings us salvation. He's the one here to take away the sins of the world. He is Emmanuel, God in the flesh, God with us. And he makes a statement that Jesus desires all of us to make, which is this: my Lord and my God. Jesus, you're the real deal. Everything you said would happen, it happened just as you said. Every claim that you made, every prophecy you fulfilled, everything you did, Jesus, was true. You, Jesus, you saw my doubt and you met me at my point of need. You showed me the truth, Jesus. We have those moments, probably lots of them, where we find ourselves discouraged and doubting. In Mark chapter 9, there's a man that's conversing with Jesus, and he says, I believe now, help my unbelief. Here's the thing, guys. God is a big God, amen? If we were able to completely understand God entirely, he would not be God. Does that make sense? Probably not, because God's too big. You guys with me? Like, if we could completely understand who God is, he would not be God. We can't even begin to wrap our brains around who he is and how great he is. And so there's going to be moments in your life, in my life, where we just need to cry out, God, I need you to help me. Because I know that you are Lord, and I know that you are my God. Help me understand. Help me believe. I'm walking through a pretty crappy time right now, Jesus. And I need you to help me believe. I just want to encourage you, man, if you find yourself in that place, cry out to Jesus and do it with a heart of humility. Don't walk to Jesus. If you're trying to say, man, I don't believe in Jesus, we're going to talk more about that. I don't believe in Jesus. I don't think this whole thing is real. My challenge to you is go and find out. With a heart of humility. Go and just say, I'm really going to go. I'm not going to go with this attitude. I'm going to go and really hear him out. Jesus, will you show me the truth? Because here it is. That's who Jesus is. He is the truth. And here's reality for us, guys. We continually find ourselves looking in other places for truth. But we forget to look at the one that is truth. Let me see what Facebook has to say about my life-changing decision. Before I do anything else, let's check out social media. Right, let me tweet this out and talk to all these people. I've got this moral dilemma in my life. I know what I should do. I should look at my favorite famous person and see what they have to say about this issue. Let's look to what this book says or that person says about how I should live my life. Or maybe we should look at the always accurate Wikipedia. All while we have the one that came and gave his life for you, the one that is nothing but truth. There is no lies found in him. He will help with that doubt, and we find ourselves running to anything but him. So Thomas says, thank you, Jesus. I was filled with doubt, and you showed me truth. You are Jesus, my Lord and my God. What a story to tell. What a testimony. And that, church, is going to lead us to the last part of John chapter 20. Where the Apostle John writes this. Therefore, many other signs Jesus also performed in the presence of the disciples. So there was other things that he did that aren't written here. It says, which are not written in this book. But check out verse 31. It says, but these things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Now, there's something really interesting about this last verse in particular, and that's his emphasis on the word belief. I don't want to step on any toes here, but I don't really mind stepping on toes. Are you guys with me? The Word of God steps on toes all the time, doesn't it? Like, we have our views, and we're just like, yeah, Jesus has got something different for me. Jesus says this. All of this is written in God's Word. All of this story that Jesus came, and he's born of a virgin, and he's born and he grows up, and then for 3 years he does this ministry, and he's healing people and he's doing all these things. He lives a perfect life. And that leads him to the cross for you and me, and he's beaten, and he goes to the cross, and he hung, and he dies, and he's buried, and he rose again. All of that is written, not so that we can just stand back and say, I love this story, this is a good story. All of it's written so we would believe in Jesus, that he is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing in that, you may have life in his name. I'm about to lose my voice. You have to come preach for me, man. I don't know. Hear me clearly. This is vital. I need everybody to get this. This phrase right here is so important because this is where the message of Christianity is radically different than any other religion or belief in the world. Are you guys ready? Because it doesn't say, but these things have written so that you do all of these religious activities. It doesn't say that you do a list of things. You have a box to check off. You have rituals to follow. Instead, it simply says we have truth to believe. That's the difference. Are you guys with me on that one? Look, there we go. I like amens if you can't tell. Man, I'm with you, right? Like, are you guys tracking with me? You got these religions that say, you got to do this, and 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 it leaves us saying, I can't. I can't do these things. And Jesus actually says, just believe in me. That's it. Just believe in me. Quit being so difficult. Quit making it so dang hard. I'm sure Jesus said dang in the Greek somewhere. Like, I'm sure it's in there. Right? Stop trying to do it on your own. You can't do it. But yet we live a life where we just check things off. And I will tell you this, when you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that will change your life. Jesus does the changing of your life. Everyone in this room, everyone throughout this world is faced with this question. Do you believe? Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ and that He rose from the dead? And there are people, hopefully not in here, but there are people that say, no, I do not believe. They might even say, man, he was a good guy. He's a really religious dude. But no, I don't believe that He was God, that He was the promised one, that He died and rose again. And if you say no to that question, I want you to hear me clearly on this one. For your sake, for your eternity, the burden of proof on your answer of no is on you. Now, don't get me wrong. We as Christians have a responsibility to also proclaim the truth. Are you guys with me? To open up the Bible and teach. So we have a burden as well. But if your answer is no, this is simply not something that we just put off. Now, thanks for that Jesus thing. You do that over there. We don't get to do that, right? Ask the question, search for answers. And here's the thing. This is not a matter of religious preference. This is a matter of truth. This is a matter of your eternity. Don't worry about what your friends say. Don't worry about what anybody else says. If they say no, this is your eternity that you're dealing with, and you better be right. Your eternity is dependent on a right answer to this question. Maybe you say yes to that question. Yes, Jesus is the Christ and He died from the dead. I believe that He is my Lord and my God. If that is your response, then what do you do with that belief? Because we can believe in our mind. We're really good in the United States of kind of having a traditional belief. My grandma believes this way, so therefore I believe this way. My family believes this way, therefore I believe this way. I grew up in a church, so therefore I believe that way. And so you might say, yeah, I believe in Jesus with my mind because it's the religious thing to do. It's the culture thing to do. It's the family thing to do. If I say no, my grandma will whoop my butt type thing, right? But here's the reality. We can believe in our mind, but we can say, I'm not following Jesus with my life as my Lord and my God. And this is the ultimate testimony of any and every follower of Christ. We need to be able to say, I was dead in my sins. I was bound for a real place called hell. That's not a popular phrase anymore, but it's true. But Jesus gave me life. He brought me to life. These things have been written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing in Him, you may have life in His name. And so today, Easter, resurrection morning, what's your story? Or what's your story going to be? What's your testimony? We've heard from those in Scripture. Maybe you've heard, hopefully you've heard this from other people in your life, but maybe today is the first day. And you're hearing for the first time that Jesus came and died for you. But we could celebrate because there's a lot of people that have claimed to be God that are still in the grave. Amen? Let's try that again. There are a lot of people that have claimed to be God that are still in their grave. Amen? That was good. All right. And we hear that He died and that He didn't stay in the grave. He rose again. We don't have a God that's still dead. He is a risen Lord and Savior. So what is your testimony? What will your story be? What will you pass on to your kids and your family and your friends? Because when you narrow it down, you have two responses. You can believe and confess, as Thomas did, that Jesus is in fact worthy to be called your Lord and your God. Or you can turn from Him and reject Him as Lord and Savior of your life. I didn't leave much for you guys on your notes today, but here's your notes. What will your testimony, what will your response be? I turn away from Jesus in my life. Or is your testimony going to be, I trust in Jesus as my Lord? We have a Jesus that loves us more than you could ever imagine. He gave up everything to meet you at your point of need. We needed a Savior to come and die for us. For God so loved the world, say that with me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. His love was so great that He made a way for you and for me. So will your story be, I turn away from Jesus in my life, or will it be that I trust Jesus as my Lord? You have to make that decision. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. I want to be very clear. You cannot be a follower of Christ. You are not a Christian if you do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Are we clear? Right? That's not me saying that. That's the Bible saying that, because He said the only way to be saved is you believe that He is Lord and that God raised Him from the dead. So right where you are sitting, while our team comes up to play, that was supposed to be like really dramatic. Levi, let's go. Come on, guys. So right where you're sitting, while the music plays, I want to invite you to trust in Jesus as your Lord. Trust in and give your life to the one that came and gave His life for you. Trust in Jesus as Lord of your life today and have the peace and the hope and the love that only He can provide. We find ourselves looking for all this stuff in this world, and only Jesus can provide that. And if you know Jesus as your Savior, let me help you out. We have to be telling our story. Are you guys with me? We got to be telling our story.